You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
Exactly 6 months ago, to the very day, actually, on the 12th of June, we spoke to MultiChoice around their full year results. It is now the 12th of November. They have reported today at lunchtime their half year results for the first half of the new financial year, ended September 2024. I'm once again joined by the company's Chief Financial Officer, Tim Jacobs, to take a look at the performance of MultiChoice over the first 6 months of the new year. Good evening, Tim. Thanks so much for taking the time. Lovely to catch up with you again. We looked at last year's results. We closed off last year. We've started off the new year. It's been a tough start to the new year. How are you reflecting on the first 6 months?
Hi there, Jimmy, and hello to your listeners. Look, I think we have to acknowledge that the first 6 months was really tough for us, in particular on two levels. One is subscriber numbers, where we saw the weakness of the second half of last year continuing into the first half of this year. The good news is that we have started to see a little bit of green shoots coming through. So, for example, in the South African business, we saw the premium base, if you look at second half of last year to first half of this year, it only declined by 2%. Normally that decline half and half has been trending between, I'd say, 4 and 6%. So the premium base is actually looking a little bit more stable, which is very exciting. And then the load shedding had a really nice impact. The fact that we didn't have any made a big impact on the mass market, so in other words, the access bouquet. And those subscribers were actually flat period on period. And then if we look at the rest of Africa, it was a challenge of two countries, really, Nigeria and Zambia. Zambia, because of load shedding, they're now up to 20 hours a day of load shedding, so they're in deep crisis. And of course, what we've seen there is more than half of that subscriber base drop off. And Nigeria, of course, as we all know, has been impacted by very high inflation, very high affordability issues, fuel going through the roof, high interest rates. And so they've been under a lot of pressure. And those two countries together accounted for 86%. Of the entire loss of subscribers in the rest of Africa. The rest of the countries were actually not too bad. And so that was the one side, right? The part that we were a little bit disappointed with. But as we said at the end of last financial year, what we were focused on this time round was about profitability. And what we were very pleased about is that our core business delivered on the back of some really inflationary price increases and a very strong cost-cutting drive. We managed to do a 32% organic increase before the investment in Showmax. And if we take the investment in Showmax into account, which obviously is where consumers are moving towards, that's the future of the business, we invested an incremental 1.6 billion rands into the Showmax business, and that meant that our trading profit was flat year on year, right, at 5 billion rands. And then, of course, we had the negative impact coming from currencies, which impacted us by 2.3 billion rands. Now, again, that was expected because the currencies moved right at the end of last year and we knew they were going to roll into the first 6 months. So that's why we've been so focused on the cost side of the business and not as much on the growth side of the business.
Tim, when we look at some of the cost numbers, obviously with, as you said, subscribers declining, last year we spoke, the business lost about 1.6 million subscribers. This year you said, obviously, that there were some continued subscriber losses. And when we look at the DStv subscribers overall coming down from 16.7 down to 14.9 million, we kind of have an idea of what's driving that. The Showmax business was, especially Showmax 2.0, when we last spoke about that, was set to be kind of where the bulk of the focus was going to go into in the new year. So far, the business has cost or has added 2.4 billion rand to losses thus far, and we're not really seeing any revenue increases. I mean, revenues have in fact declined from the 700 million down to about 400 million. How is Showmax 2.0 panning out? Is it going as expected?
Yeah, so a couple of things that need to be mentioning. The reason for the decline in revenue was because when we did the deal with Comcast, we had two products that our original Showmax 1.0 was selling. One of them was Showmax Pro, which was a full football offering, and the second one, and that was at a high ARPU. I think we were selling that at about 349 rands a month, and we also had the Diaspora. Both of those products had to be closed down when we did this deal. And so as a consequence, that is the reason that the revenue dropped. It wasn't because the business hasn't performed. The business itself, our paying subscribers have grown by 30% since we've launched. So that is moving. But we are seeing, very similar to the linear business, the impact in some of our key markets like Nigeria, Zambia, means that some of the take up in the rest of Africa isn't quite at the levels that we had hoped for. We're also seeing the impact of currencies on this business, right? So the same macro dynamics that we are seeing in the linear business are also impacting here. And what we're busy doing with this business at the moment is we are still building out some of the key enablers. So, for example, in the linear businesses, we've got, you know, a lot of payment options, over 200 payment options, whereas in the Showmax business, in the first iteration when we went live, I think we only had about 6 or 7 payment options across the continent. So as we build out more of those, as we build out some of the partnerships with some of the mobile operators and some of our other distributor partners, we hopefully are going to see some significant more traction coming through in that business. But we just need to remember that this is an early stage business. And so, you know, these kind of challenges that we're seeing on the operational side are to be expected. We weren't expecting to kind of come out the gates with 100% everything working.
Mm. Tim, can we take a look at the balance sheet? There was a slight kind of technical insolvency towards the end of the financial year, with assets being slightly below liabilities. That seems to have widened a bit, with assets coming down even more, liabilities staying kind of high. So the business in a bit more of a worse off situation from an insolvency perspective. Obviously, the business still has quite a healthy amount of assets there. What's the plan to turn that around? You touched on the cost cutting side of it earlier and saying that was a focal point for the business. What's the plan to deal with the solvency side of it?
Yeah, that's actually an excellent question. So we finished the half with negative equity of 2.7 billion rands. As you'll remember, we entered into a negotiation with Sanlam to buy 60% of our insurance business. Now, this is a deal that goes back a couple of years now. We've been working on this for some time, and we have 95% confidence that the last CP, which is the Prudential Authority approval, is going to happen imminently, and when that happens, the accounting gain that we get from the sale of that 60% of that business is between 2.6 and 3.3 billion rands, and that in itself will resolve most of that that negative equity position. And then, of course, when we look at the transition to the end of the year, we are expecting to see some significant improvement in the in the foreign exchange position relative to the first half. So, for example, we're expecting to see smaller losses on cash remittances versus last year, because the parallel and the official rate in Nigeria is relatively narrow. And we've opened up a hedge book for about 18 months now. And that hedge book, if the rand continues to be a little weaker like we're seeing at the moment, then that will lower the impact of that long-dated hedge book on the results. Mm. So we're fairly confident that we'll be out of the negative equity position in November, and we have every intention to stay that way all the way through to the end of the year.
Mm-hmm. Tim, before I let you go, can you give us an update on the Canal Plus transaction? Obviously, that's got some regulatory hurdles it needs to cross through. What's the latest on the deal? Where are the delays? What's happening there? It's still obviously a very, very big deal that is very important for the MultiChoice Group. Where do we stand?
Absolutely. So, as you'll know, we signed a cooperation agreement with Canal Plus, and so we've been working with them on some of the regulatory submissions, trying to make sure that we get through this as quickly as we can. On the 30th of September, we submitted our application to the South African Competition Commission, and what we're doing at the moment is we're now busy with the applications in some of the other jurisdictions in Africa that also need to have submissions made. So that's the second phase of those ComCom submissions. At the same time, we've been in discussions with our own regulator, ICASA, and those discussions are ongoing. Although we don't think that we need an approval, it is always a good idea to be in discussion with your regulator, making sure that their understanding and your understanding is on the same page. So that's going ongoing at the same time. The only thing that we, of course, caution about is nobody can predict when regulatory approvals and processes will come to a conclusion, unfortunately. And the latest, you know, Vodacom matter is a case in point where they waited for 4 years. Of course, we don't think that our deal is nearly as complicated as that. It is complicated, but there's no competition. So there's no overlap in our market with Canal Plus, so we're not removing a competitor from the market. So it should go a little bit smoother than what they've seen.
We'll hope and pray that that is the case and that does come around sooner rather than later. We'll catch up as soon as we have more information around that. Thanks for the update, though, Tim. Thanks for keeping us in the loop with how the business is doing. We wish you the best of luck for the rest of the year. That's Tim Jacobs, Chief Financial Officer at MultiChoice, on how they started off their new financial year and how the year is shaping up for them.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.